That passage from Acts helpfully introduces the theme today, which is that of mission. And having heard of Saul's own commissioning, let us hear today as well of Peter's. After these things, meaning things relating to the first day of Easter, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." This too is for us the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Along the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee in Israel, not far from the village of Tabgha, stands a small but impressive church. The church looks out of place, its black basalt stones standing stark against the sea, which sparkles white like diamonds. It stands stark against the azure blue sky above and the deep green of the trees and the bushes that surround it. The church looks more like a castle or a fortress than a church, with its high walls surmounted by a tower. This is the church of Peter's primacy, named for the event that took place there many centuries before. It was on this spot, or so the story goes, that Jesus appeared to his disciples for the third time on the beach and cooked for them a meal of fish and bread. The rock that served that morning as a breakfast table now stands before the altar in the Church of Peter's Primacy. Back behind the church, you can walk down a little pathway that leads down to the lake shore. Along that path lie six stepping stones, all of them in the shape of a heart. The stones haven't always been there. We think they were probably placed there sometime before the 9th century. Those six heart-shaped stones are actually six double-columned blocks, probably taken from disused buildings. They probably once served as arches, the supportive arches built for a colonnade. And those stones are symbols of something that have proved more enduring, more permanent than the buildings they once adorned. The six double-columned blocks are called the 12 thrones and commemorate the 12 apostles upon whose preaching and teaching the church has been built. It was to these 12 apostles that Jesus, on the night he shared his Last Supper with them, said, "You are those who have stood by me in my trials. I confer on you a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, sometimes these rocks are submerged by the lake when the tide comes in or the lake's level is high, but the stones have stayed there, solid and steady, just as the church is sometimes submerged in the tide of time and trial, but always remains there, solid and sturdy. But there is another story, another legend about the six stones. At that same supper, Jesus had spoken highly, indeed perhaps too highly, of his disciples. Shortly after he took the bread that he said was his body and shared the wine that he said was his blood, his disciples did not, in fact, stand by Jesus in his trials, whether before Herod or the council or Pilate. Recall, of course, that Judas outright betrayed Jesus. Other disciples fled for fear. Only Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved tried to stay close, getting into the place where Jesus' trial took place. But once there, standing beside a charcoal fire, face to face with people who could do him harm, Peter denied Jesus. Denied him three times. Denied belonging to Jesus. Denied having his life completely changed by Jesus. Peter denied ever knowing him, ever following him, ever loving him. And then they had taken Jesus away to be crucified. But now Jesus was with the disciples again. Jesus was alive. And just as he had on that night, not long before, Jesus prepared a meal for his disciples and ate it with them. And when they had finished their breakfast beside another charcoal fire, Jesus turned to Peter and asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter had said, "you know that I love you." "Feed my lambs," Jesus said. The second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then tend my sheep." And a third time, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus had to ask a third time. And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep, Peter, the way that I have fed you. After you've worked the night shift and have come home with nothing to show for it. After you've gone back to an old way of life because you don't fully understand or know what else to do or how to handle the freedom and the possibilities of resurrection life, tend my sheep the way I have tended you, showing you where to look for what you're searching for, taking you back after everything you have said and done. Feed my lambs, the weakest and the most vulnerable among us, the way I have fed you. Not because you're strong enough, not because you deserve it, not because you've worked for it, just because you are one of mine and because I love you. Feed others from my table. Offer them what I give you. 6 stones in the shape of a heart for 3 questions. Do you love me? And 3 answers. Lord, you know that I do. Well, if you love me, then care for my flock. It is a moment that changes everything. When Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my sheep," Peter's past is forgiven. And Peter isn't merely forgiven, he's also drawn back into the community of faith, back into the discipleship community, and Peter is given meaningful work to do. And that, friends, is the gift of our mission. The Easter present God offers to the church, the Easter present God offers to us as Jesus' followers, the Easter present God gives to us as disciples, brothers and sisters of Peter who have all denied Jesus in our own way, is to restore us to a relationship with God and to be entrusted with the mission of caring for those whom God loves. The gracious task we are assigned is to love and to lead the sheep, both in Christ's fold and those in other folds as well. The gift of our mission is nothing less than to share in Jesus' own ministry, the ministry of caring for others. Our mission, friends, is to do what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, did for his flock while he was among us. He brought near those who were far away. He brought back the wanderers. He visited the sick. He strengthened the weak. He bound up the broken. He guarded over those who were well fed. He gave himself up for the sheep. And he did those things among his own family members and friends. He did those things in the neighborhoods and at the villages that he knew. It's often easy to think that mission always happens somewhere else, some place that requires a passport and foreign language fluency and mosquito netting, some place where you and I are not likely to go without heroic effort. But if you noticed, the disciples encounter the risen Jesus not only in Jerusalem, which to them might as well have been a foreign country, but the disciples also encounter the risen Jesus back home in Galilee, on the lake where they plied their trade and lived their lives. And not far from that lake shore stood homes and businesses and shops where people raised their families and did their work. Those were the pastures. That was the mission field where Jesus' sheep lived and where they needed care. And 2,000 years later, Jesus' sheep still live in homes and go to schools and work in businesses and play in neighborhoods. Those sheep still need to be loved and cared for. And so wherever you and I are Monday through Friday, whether as parents or children, whether as employees or volunteers, whether as citizens or neighbors, you and I are called to look for opportunities to care for those whom God loves. The mission is to love and serve those who are in need around us. Beside the path lined with the six stone hearts, there stands a statue. In it, Peter kneels in worship before the Lord Jesus, professing his love. Jesus stands over Peter, extending his right hand in forgiveness and blessing. And in his left, he offers to Peter not a rod and a reel, nor a net, but a shepherd's staff. If you love me, feed my sheep. Amen. May we stand to sing the hymn, Lord, whose love through humble service.